is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
China's gloomy drumbeat, a headline at Bloomberg Opinion. John authors. The drumbeat of major news headlines from China on an almost daily basis seems all but to spell doom for the world's second largest economy. I welcome Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend, who's been guiding us to understand China's business plan does not work, cannot work, and is in failure. Well, here it is, Bloomberg acknowledging what is said to be daily headlines of China's retreat. Gordon, a very good evening to you. This retreat was a long time being recognized by the major financial institutions. We've talked about de-risking, decoupling. Has it happened already, Gordon? Is that past tense? Are we into, well, they use the word doom here. Is China a doom loop? Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. I suppose that one could say that nothing is inevitable, but it is extremely difficult to see how China can avoid a disaster. The fundamentals have been there for quite some time, pointing to failure of historic proportions. And now I think we're starting to see the early stages of that.
The quote from Rebecca Chung Wilkins and Colin Murphy at Bloomberg, the $18 trillion economy is decelerating. Consumers are downbeat. Exports are struggling. Prices are falling. And more than one in five young people are out of work. Good heavens, we welcome Ann Stevenson Yang, the author of China Alone, a new edition. And this looks to be the culmination of your very careful auditing of the Chinese economy these many years. So because you were very carefully correct, well ahead of the interest in investing in China, are we at the bottom? Wall Street teaches me you can't pick a bottom. Is China right now doing anything to reverse what is said to be deceleration and deflation? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. They really can't. I think it's a classic example of why nations fail when they have a highly centralized and controlling political system that shovels too much of GDP toward the elites and the top leadership. They've just reached the end of that rope when they can't keep investing more in order to boost the economy more.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
Ann, why can't they?
Because, I mean, the fundamental reason is because confidence in the economy and the economic growth has declined. This is internationally where rates have gone up in Western countries as rates go down in China. So you can get a safer yield in the U.S. than you can in China. And it's also true in China where the average consumer no longer believes that real estate is going to go up in price. And so with 70% of their assets in real estate, they're just sitting on it instead of buying more.
What does this mean for the American economy, Anne? Because right now there are fresh doubts about the economy. There is even chatter, talk, whispering of a Fed cut by the end of this year. Does China's deceleration also decelerate the U.S.?
It doesn't have a huge impact, John. There's impacts, more impact in Midwestern states that export soybeans and corn and pork to China. But, you know, the impact is fairly marginal. You know, China has been talked about as a driver of international growth, but the reality is that China imports stuff in order to manufacture stuff for export, and that is not a net generator of growth.
Gordon, you have a question.
And I think you just made a critical point. You know, China has growth, but because of its predatory and certainly sometimes criminal policies, it's actually taking growth from other countries. And we can see this with its enormous surpluses. To be an engine of global growth, you've got to buy the goods and services of other countries to create growth elsewhere. And China is, I think, that if it fails, other countries are going to benefit from it. As you point out, the point you make, I think, is just central to our understanding, or should be central to our understanding, of China's place in the global economy.
Yeah, I think that's true, Gordon. Now, it's unbalanced. It depends on where you're from. Australia, for example, exports an awful lot of iron ore and coking coal to China. Canada exports a lot of potash to China. But as a global phenomenon, China is a net exporter rather than a net importer, and therefore has a big surplus. And this is also what puts the kibosh on China's idea about making the renminbi a global currency. If you don't make the renminbi available by having a deficit, so that you have more renminbi in the world than you consume, then you can't have it be a global currency.
Reuters published recommendations of how the fix China's in and how to fix it. One is to eat the debt, to cancel the debt, to absorb it, know that it's not going to be paid back to the big banks. Two is Japanification, slow growth for a decade or more. Three is really radical, to make it a consumer-based economy such as the U.S. and Europe. Are any of those three palatable to the Chinese Communist Party of today, Anne, in your opinion?
Number three is just not going to happen. The Communist Party doesn't have those mechanisms and it doesn't have that way of thinking. Number two, the Japanification, I think that this has been overstressed as a strategy. I think that it's not really likely because it would require that asset values tumble in China and that the people who own that assets take big losses. And that has not happened to date, even though it should have happened quite a while ago. So I think really the only option available is that they recapitalize the banks, which is a way of forgiving the debt. But recapitalizing the banks will push the currency way down.
Which is where it's headed. Gordon, you promised me the currency would be held at 7.25. You tell me that it's 7.3. What happened? Did Shanghai or Beijing not get the memo?
Well, John, sometimes we do make mistakes. And yes, it is surprising that they allowed the currency to fall that far. They're still trying to hold the line with support for the renminbi. But at some point, they're going to have to surrender to the market, just as other countries have. China can sort of hold that off for a little while because it's got strict currency controls. But eventually, economics will conquer them.
We have about a minute, Gordon, for a question for Anne.
So, Anne, next 6 months, where do you see the Chinese economy?
I think that they will try to hold on to the level of the currency in hopes that the U.S. will cut its rates or at least not raise, because that puts less pressure on their system. So they're going to kind of hold on for that. And they'll continue to cut around the margins, you know, lower the deposit ratio that's required of the banks, lower mortgage rates, things like that. But I don't think it'll work. So, you know, continue on the trajectory that we have now.
And checking in on the ghost cities, my favorite metaphor of your exploration these years, Anne, are the ghost cities more haunted than ever now and crumbling without customers? Is that their fate?
I'm afraid so, John. And I think that, I think that China is looking at a serious crime problem as it moved a lot of people to these empty towers and empty cities and away from their traditional communities.
Anne Stephenson-Yang, author of China Alone, a New Edition. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.